Well, thank you guys so much for doing that episode with me.
Thank you so much for having us.
That was so fun. One thing that I really liked about it, just to go from the jump, this is a talk back, by the way. You already know this, but a talk back. Talk about musical improv, nerd out about it, and get into specifics of what we are thinking about with musical improv and what we enjoyed from that last taping. And, you know, for the benefit of anyone who's also doing this thing and wants to get better at it and is thinking about that like we are. So one thing right from the jump is just that it was, I felt like we brought a lot of our own real opinions about, like, dating and life into
Absolutely.
The episode, which in turn made it, I thought, a very, like, kind of poignant episode. Like, I've been, I think a lot about, you know, men cutting off their own relationship with their emotions. So
yeah,
when I saw that that was an option for what could be the, you know, Ursula's take, that's so fun. Like,
yeah, part of me was like, I loved how real it was, because, I mean, one thing Lisette and I are always talking about is how can we actually have, like, our real emotions and react to things instead of just follow the shiny... Like, you can do the fun, shiny thing, but sometimes it's nice to, like, break it down to actually how you feel about something. And the easiest way to do that is relate. And for the Ursula shiny thing, like, the Ursula concept, I was like, I have so many things that I deal with in life, but then I constantly stop myself and I'm like, how many of these are my real problems? How many of these are the dumb things that are just adding unnecessary stresses into my life that I could be just ridding of? And I was like, that's kind of a fun villain concept. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Super fun.
Yeah. And what you were saying about, like, we're always looking for the genuine emotional reaction, because especially like when you're singing something, I find, like, you will stumble your way into some kind of funny, but I need to know, like, why this human being is, like, feeling something strongly enough.
Yeah, otherwise it can get wacky real quick.
Yeah.
Which is, like, not that fun, actually. It feels fun to do, but it's not that fun to watch, no. I found.
Yeah. Well, and you think about the musicals that you love, and there might be, you know, a scene that you're like, oh, that was such a funny one moment, but the thing that resonates and the reason it's a good musical is the places that you connect with it and you relate in the heart in it.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go backwards. Let's go kind of zoom back to just chat about how each of you got into musical improv and, like, what brings you to this scene and a little bit of your, like, history with improv, especially musical improv.
I think the first time I was asked to sing in improv was when I first started doing it, like, 20 years ago when I was in college. And I was in a short form theater sportsy group, and there was always one or two musical games. And when I learned I had to sing on stage, I started crying in practice, because I was so uncomfortable singing. I had, like, you know, Catholic nuns had made me feel bad about my singing voice in elementary school, and I was just like, I don't want to do it. I just want to be funny. Don't make me sing. But my first teachers, shout out Tracy Burns, shout out Alan Simpson, were, like, really guided me through it. And it's like, it's okay. You could talk, sing. You like it. It's fine. And kind of helped me. I remember something Alan said. It was there's a fountain of courage, and it lives downstage center. You don't have to feel courage to go downstage center. You have to go downstage center, and then the fountain of courage, like, will
Whoa,
go
I
all
love
over
that.
You,
what an
and
amazing,
you'll feel strong. So,
what I've, an amazing idea.
I've remembered that my whole life. Yeah, I've remembered that my entire improv career, and it has affected almost how I play everything. So,
yeah. Wait, sorry, Shelby, before we move on. So that was, like, how you got started.
Yeah, that's
to this moment.
Yeah, and I've been doing improv for the last 20 years. Like, after I graduated, I did comedy sports for a little while, but then mostly have spent my career at this theater called Impro, and they did narrative improvised plays. So Jane Austen unscripted, Chekhov unscripted, Shakespeare unscripted. But then the new generation of people that I was a part of then took what we learned from them and applied it to, like, Star Trek, to X-Files, to kind of, like, sci-fi stuff that we love, and would do, like, 1 hour improvised plays to genres that meant a lot to us. And then you know, pandemic happened, things broke apart, and I was like, you know, I've never been to UCB, And I started walking down to UCB to watch Baby Wants Candy and the musical version. Like, I remember seeing the musical version in, like, 2022 or 2023. And I was like, oh, I started feeling the itch of, like, oh, I want to jump back into classes. I want to, this seems fun. And I eventually did, and here I am.
Oh, wow. So this is a little bit of a full circle.
Yeah, it really
is. That's awesome. Yeah. What about you, Shelby?
I started doing musical improv in high school. Like narrative musical improv in high school, which is kind of crazy. Anytime I say it, people are like, that's a young age to do it. But I did like regular improv when I was six in a elementary school improv enrichment class. Like instead of doing football or ceramics, you could do improv, which I always say is like probably the best and worst improv I've ever done because you're a kid. And I like love the idea of just being free, using your imagination. And I was like, I need to chase that feeling anytime I do it. Like, bring back the feeling of, like, your inner child. And so when I was in high school, I was insanely lucky that my improv coach, gonna plug it, Cinco Paul, he is, like, the creator of Schmigadoon and all these, like, incredible musicals. And although we were doing, like, short-form comedy sports style, he really challenged us and would work with us. We would do workshops where we would do full improvised musicals so we could perform them in front of audiences. And for me, I've loved musical theater my whole life. I grew up as a dancer, but when I would audition for musicals, I was always either like dance ensemble or like the bit character parts, the quirky, nerdy, weirdo. And for some reason, it clicked with improv that he would coach us and be like, anyone can be an ingenue. Anyone can be a villain. Anyone can be the side character. And I loved this free, like untethered, like allowance to just play all these different parts and characters and the power from that. I stopped improv for a while because it was really hard being a woman in improv. And I dealt with a lot of, unfortunately, like judgment and sexism and being told that the only reason I got on a team was because I must have been sleeping with someone, you know, that kind of crazy stuff, which it's improv, mind you, it's improv. And it wasn't until I had moved back to LA, where I'm from, and I was like, I need more things for me, and I want to like bring back that power, and started taking regular UCB classes again until someone was like, have you ever done musical improv? You always dance in scenes, and you always like bring this stuff or try to rap randomly in a normal set. Have you thought about like, they're like, you keep playing rappers or you keep playing like karaoke singers in your stuff. Like, we're forming a musical improv team. Do you want to do it? And what I realized is I was staying away from musical improv for so long because I was scared of it feeling like that judgmental space that you're not the ingenue or the you're just a woman, so you can't play these crazy things. And I finally met Greg Smith and Andrew Young, and I saw a bunch of crazy freaks on stage, and I was like, I feel safe to try it again with them. And they like brought me back in.
Aw.
It's nice.
You're not the first person I've heard from, and specifically a woman in improv, who has mentioned that part of the initial appeal, coming from a musical theater background, was the idea that you could kind of escape some of the boxiness of casting.
I'm no longer a mother, a wife, a girlfriend.
You could be a little gremlin who sells souls and stresses.
The amount of rats I have played my life.
I've also heard it from commercial actors of all genders that, you know, being so many improvisers, at least at UCB, they like, you know, you can't watch a Super Bowl without seeing like 10 people from your class. Or you're like, oh, that guy, that person. And so I think, it improv as a whole has that sparkiness of you don't have to play just a dumb guy who reacts in every single thing you ever do. Who goes, huh? Skittles? Yeah. Or whatever. Huh?
Well, and you
Swiffer?
You can also like bring yourself to it. Like most times when you're doing a musical or a commercial, you're given a script and you're told this is what you're saying. You know, you can connect how you feel to it and what it means to you, but it's so rare to find an art form where every single time you can find a new way to express yourself, relate, put something out into the world, a new way to express it, and then move on to the next. Throw it out there. Let it go. And if it doesn't work, oh well, but maybe you learn something along the way.
Yeah, and it's a bit of also my own selfishness of I want to play all the different kinds of characters. I like them all. I want them all. I don't want to be pinned into, you know, girl who loves boy, even though I will play that often.
And tonight, girl who loves girl.
There's love is all around us. Why not play it?
Let's pivot into talking about the set, which I just loved. What are things that, like, you feel like, we'll do a little sandwich of good, bad, good, or like good things we're thinking about that can improve good. What was something that, like, was really cooking for you? I'll go first. I really liked, I loved this big swing of this Ursula type. And I felt like the fun of something like that, it's like throwing a big ball in the air and like hoping it's going to get caught. And I like trying to catch those. And I felt like I was having fun going like, okay, that character's swimming around. So like, let's get them involved. And so I enjoyed finding a way. It's like, okay, I thought this was going to be a pretty like grounded divorce story. Mm-hmm. And that you were going to be, I also thought you were going to be more of like the lead and you'd be in almost every scene. Mm-hmm. But because the husband made the deal with the devil, it, yeah, it almost
it's kind
of
like
of
a
story.
Two. I like, yeah, so. I think so.
Yeah. But yeah, I loved that. I loved throwing in this big, you know, you have this really grounded premise and then it's like, and there's an evil massage therapist whose name I forgot two scenes in. Yeah, I just love that. What was something you guys loved?
I mean, I really enjoy Philip, you guide us through the story very well, and I appreciate it like, especially at the start when we're kind of getting our bearings, especially for me sitting while improvising. It's like, oh, I clocked it in my body. I was like, oh, this is a new thing. There's something about standing and like maybe even like fiddling my feet and thinking that are connected. So I was like, oh, okay. But it the transitions to new scenes felt so smooth and so obvious. And I was discovering the story as it went along and felt excited to see what happened next as we were telling it. So I feel like that's always a good sign.
Oh, great feeling.
Yeah.
I loved the kind of shared vulnerability throughout. I feel like from the beginning, you know, we did the opening and we all kind of breathed together and found, you know, already started sharing our experiences. And then Lisette, just this character, and you have this superpower when you improvise where there's so much going on and you're able to slow it down and just connect and say, this is how I'm feeling. And you make everyone around you feel it with you, and it's so easy to understand where you're at. And I feel like that power kind of stayed throughout the whole set. Like anytime, you know, we'd have fun and bits and jokes going on, but anytime it went down to what is this really about, it just felt so real and pure, and that was so special. And I think you don't see all the time in improv because there's that scared feeling of being vulnerable on stage.
Yes. Will Hines has an improv maxim, no feel say, which I think is really helpful. And you were doing that in the set. I think it's why it works. But like to anyone listening, you know what you're doing or like choose to know, all things being equal, choose to know what's going on, feel something about it, have a deep feeling about it. And then most crucially, say what you're feeling, even if you have to like think out loud, which is like scary, I think, for people to like. It's also why being an improviser, I think, makes you like a better partner and a better communicator at work, or like it's why, you know, corporate retreats bring in improvisers and stuff. Like there's this quality of like, it's so scary to express yourself when you're not entirely sure what you think or feel, but it's a really important communication skill in relationship to others. And so, yeah, there's like this, yeah, I loved that.
Well, and understanding how to not only communicate it, like how to figure out how it feels, how do I even put this into words, but then also how do I communicate it so others will understand where I'm coming from is just, it's such a skill. And you have that.
In spades.
Mastered.
In spades.
Yeah. Thank you. Something cool about this character, playing this character, was that I was discovering what, almost as she was peeling back the layers of what she was truly feeling and what was truly her motivation behind her actions, I was discovering like it in time with her.
That was a very interesting, like, I thought that was a very interesting move. I want to talk about that move. Yeah. Like the move of like, oh, I know I initially said it was this, but now I'm realizing it was this. Mm-hmm. It was like, it was really interesting because it's helpful because sometimes it feels like in improv, you're not allowed to do that. You're mm-hmm. not allowed, like, you, if you say at the beginning of the show, my dream, especially in narrative, my dream is to, like, meet my father, right? And then it's like, or especially if it's a more emotional dream, you know, my dream is to get a divorce. And then it's like, oh, but why? And then the why can, like, shift and grow. And there can actually be all these new funny things behind new whys.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like, if one is working, you can take it all the way. But I think you saying, oh, this one has, like, outlived its purpose. Like,
right.
We're in this scene, and I have, like, rightfully called out that, like, oh, the reason you want to get divorced is because, oh, I was late to dinner. But you didn't want to go, like, it's not just about the dinner. It's what the dinner represents. Like, you chose to just go, actually, because that doesn't make sense, let's pivot and say, no, I'm uncovering this is about me.
Right. Yeah. I think in the moment I discovered that, I just also had the thought of, like, oh, this is something that really happens. This is something people really do. Well, they will pick a fight about something shallow because they don't want to be the bad guy. And they don't want to say, actually, I want out of this relationship more than anything. And so it was a bit of, like, you know, it was funny to be because of the haircut, because you were late. And then it just felt like, well, I don't think I'm going to discover more about Philip's character if I just keep saying this. And I wanted to discover more. And so I think part of the motivation was also, I want to say something that's going to sting you a little more to then see what that brings out of Benedict. Yeah. You know? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. A lot of... Yeah, you have to be so adaptive. Like, even Benedict, like, starting this character, big swing of, like, he's super waspy.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, this isn't really working anymore. Or it's not, like, serving the dynamic that is the most funny, where he just doesn't care and is waspy. Because it's like, that has very little juice to, like, uncover something worth exploring in a narrative. Because unless he's just going to be a villain. And I think it also changed because you had just been... like a cartoony villain. And so it was like, oh, if that's a really arch villain, then you don't need a really another arch villain of waspy, you know, Timmy Turner parents who don't care about their kid or whatever.
Yeah. Well, and really what your character is doing that's so nice is it's showing this relationship dynamic. It's showing, you know, like, people are flawed. People have different things about them. Your character is someone who is so sure of themselves. You know, you might say, I'm, you know, not being honest with you about how I actually feel, but you're someone who knows what you want. You think you know what you want, and you think you know what you want to go for, and you compare it with the person you're with who is so unsure of themselves and willing to change everything about themselves to be what you want. It really, like, shows how much more powerful you are. And so I feel like it was, that's why this all felt so real, because it's like, those are people. Like,
yeah,
that's
it was exploring pretty realistic dynamics in relationship, which is fun, because that's, like, where all the fun is getting picking something real and then just amping it one notch up. To where they go, instead of, like, going to the gym and becoming, like, a bro about it, they just, like, go to Ursula and get, like, a curse. That was so wild. That was such a wild plot. So fun. Okay, let's talk about things that, like, you know, we have the benefit of 2020 playback here. And we don't have to, I don't want to get too self-critical. I don't think that's in the spirit of improv. But I think it's fun to go, oh, like, what could it have been like to do this? Or where did things feel less connected? I'll start. I think I was having trouble with choruses in this in this show. I felt like, and I think part of that was because often we sort of found the game by, like, two or three verses in.
Right.
but that's not always bad. Sometimes it just means you've been playing in a more exploratory way, in a less gamey way, which usually means, you know, have you guys heard of, like, feathers and hammers?
Mm-mm.
It's like you drop feathers of, you know, here we are. We're at the bar. That's a feather. I'm upset with you because you were late to my dinner party. Feather. We both know we're getting a divorce. That's a feather. And I'm marrying a Martian. It's like, that's so bizarre. It's like a hammer. It's like, it's a big move that can't be ignored or like can't be folded into the reality.
Right.
Without being like explored. Anyway, it made me think that like we were being more feathery, more exploratory of just like, this is normal and this is normal and this is normal sometimes without landing on, and this is why we must sing. And that's okay. But then that was why I think choruses were a little tough for me. Mm-hmm. And I could feel myself doing math where I'm like, oh, what's a pun to do with golfing, golfing pun, you know? What about you guys?
Maybe just I mean, I think you're so quick, so clever. And sometimes in the verses, I was like, oh, I need to come up with an example of something, because that seems to be the game we're on. We're all coming up with examples of this. And
example games are really hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're a little hard.
Needlessly hard. It usually means you're not playing the game right now. Mm-hmm. It means it's like a hypothetical game. Yeah, so that's usually isn't, you know, I get you.
Yeah, I feel we always found our way through. Yeah, sometimes it was just like, okay, I'll just play with the rhymes in this one, and then, oh, here it is. Here's the meat of it.
Yes.
But yes, I would love to become a player who like finds it easily and early and often.
Yeah.
It's more just something I'm working on overall.
Yeah.
Clarity coming in, making it very clear. You know, it's interesting because a lot of times I like starting a scene, I might have something, but I like really building with people. And sometimes it's similar to like in my actual life where I'm a more indecisive person. It's tough for me to be like, no, this is exactly how I feel. This is what I want, or this is why I'm doing it. Because I look at improv as such like we're collaborating. If you have a better idea, I'll do your thing. But I'm like, especially for this, I'm coming in as this person. Like, no, this is what I want. And that is okay to want things. It's okay to make it very clear right away and just drop it and not feel, oh, let me be polite with it. And so that's just something in general I'm working on, is just like, if I'm going to be a pirate, be a pirate. Like,
that's so true. Yeah. I just, last week, we had a very fun set with Sarah Rose Kaplan and Richie Storrs. And I was listening back while I was editing it down, and you know, Sarah was just coming in with like so much information, like, and it was awesome because it's like the instinct could be exactly like you said, like, oh, like pushing
like
it back,
bargaining,
and,
yeah,
like bargaining of like, well, I'll put in a bit, and then you can put in a bit, but actually, it's more like everyone put in as much as they can, as fast as they can, especially with three. It's like this, you know, it's like all hands on deck, every sailor row. Like, so it, yeah, it's a funny thing to like, yeah, to think like that of like, literally any idea you have is the right idea.
I heard this concept recently. This is specifically for me working in advertising, which is very funny. It was at like a corporate summit I was at, but this guy, Gil Reef, is a TV writer, and he said that the way he approaches writing or creating of any kind is jam, judge, launch. Every time. So it's keeping all those stages very separate. The jam is throw everything at the board, all the index cards. How many ideas can we put out there? The judge is when you go, all right, let's look at what we have. Let's pare it back. Let's find what this means to us. And then launch is once you have it, stop judging, stop jamming, just like own in and push. And I feel like that relates to improv so hard, because I feel like a lot of us get stuck in the judging phase and we feel like we need to do that throughout the whole thing. And it's like, sometimes you could just throw it, trust something's gonna work, and then just take off with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like the improv version of that is like jam. It's like mostly jam.
Yeah.
Improv. Like, you know, 90% jam.
Yeah.
And very little judge. Like, the only amount of judge is really like that thing of like framing or underlining of like, I like that idea, and I'm just gonna repeat it back and like add a little thing to it to say I like it, you know? And then the rest is. And you're constantly iterating that circle over and over again with the next move, which is a jam.
Yeah, it's not linear. It's totally circular. And it's just like...
Because each launch is like the next thing you have to jam on.
Yep.
Yeah, it's cool. That's fun.
Yeah, I've always felt like improv rules or teaching people improv, you can learn it pretty quickly, but then it's reps, reps, reps. And all the reps are doing is teaching you to judge yourself less.
Yeah.
And that's actually when your brain goes faster, because I'll constantly hear people going like, oh, I'm not that fast. And it's like, no, you are, because if you were to trip down some stairs, your hands would automatically shoot out. You know, that's instinct. Like, you can use that part of the brain, that instinct brain, to improvise, where you're like snap, 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 because your body and your brain is understanding things. But if you're going, but is it good enough? Is it good enough? Like, every time a thought comes to your head, that's, you know, when you'll see baby improvisers that are, you know, that are kind of toddling out there.
Yeah.
But it's all they need to do is like get the reps in to learn to trust themselves a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's
absolutely. I agree 100%. Because as a coach, I see people at different stages of their development, and almost everybody, the further along you get and the more comfortable you become as an improviser, and usually the better, quote unquote, you get as an improviser, it's like, yeah, less judgment, self-judgment. Mm-hmm. And I think it's funny, like, I think as I've become a better improviser, I'm also like funnier out in the real world, but I also tend to stick my foot in my mouth a little more.
Yeah.
Because,
right.
Real.
You know, the lack of judgment is what makes you funny in a way, because timing is everything when you have a funny joke. It's like somebody says something and you immediately, the immediacy of the response is what makes it funny.
Right.
It's like if you wait even 1 second and then say it, it's not funny anymore, because it's like, no, you can feel in that the decision to launch. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you're at a wake and you shouldn't do that, you know, or whatever it is. So it's like, it's why comedians, you know, usually hang out with other comedians, because like they know they aren't going to judge you for saying something shitty.
Yeah, you need to like click with my family or with
or I'm about to be on live TV. This is a set that I'm just performing on a stage for a small audience, versus I got to look about like regulations and laws for being on primetime television.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Because I do, even recording this as a podcast sometimes is a little funky, like this quality of like, sometimes just like, oh, I just said something really kind of offensive, or like earlier I was like, did I use like AFAB correctly? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, did I use the exact right terminology to describe like a non-binary person? Like, is the U-Haul joke okay?
Initially, it's fine.
Yeah, there we go. Great.
That's what I always say, is like, I'm a gay woman, a bi woman, so I'm allowing you into my world.
Thank you. I got the stamp of permission. Awesome. Now I'm going to do it all the time. It extends way beyond this moment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Yeah. And if anyone calls me out, I'll say, you don't understand. A bisexual woman told me I could do this.
Shelby Barnett.
Yeah.
Find her at Shelby Online.
Find her at Shelby Online. It's kind of confusing, but you'll get it.
The bi woman.
Yeah. Find her at the bi woman. The D-H-E-E bi woman. What else? Anything else you guys are like, what has you excited in the improv space? What has you like feeling really jazzed?
I'm going to say it. We have been working on a new group called Trilogy. It's us and Khalil Mascotti. And it's been really exciting for us. We're specifically working on rap, hip hop, R&B. And in general, this led to a big discussion I had with people recently of like, I'm excited, especially like our generation of improvisers who are kind of coming up and trying to perform as much as we can and find what works for us. We're really excited to follow the things we're passionate about and not feel like this is the way it's being performed currently, or this is the show we see on the UCB stage, so this is what we have to do. And there's so many groups that are starting to do it. I love the team Thrust, who they do everything. They start with just full movement, and they're willing to change the status quo and challenge other people to do that. And I just find it really inspiring to be surrounded by so many people that are like putting their passions into what they do. And we were like, we're kind of sick of always singing musical. Like, we love, the thing we all love is rap, and we love hip hop, and we're so passionate about it. So how can we integrate that into what we do? And I've been finding a lot of people doing that lately, and it's exciting.
Yeah, we're definitely, you know, me, Shelby, Khalil are people who grew up listening to rap and hip hop, among all the other types of music, but because it kind of lives in our body and we're such fans of it, we were like, hey, it's never anything that's really asked of you in any of the classes you're going to take. Like, anyone who does a good amount of rap improv comedy just took the initiative themselves to learn it and to put it out there. And I was like, every time I see people do it, I love it. So I wanna do it. And you know, Shelby, me and Khalil are also on a Louise team together. So that's how we discovered. We all sort of have that rhythm in our bodies and that enjoyment of it. And it's been a lot of fun to learn. And I agree with you. Like, my favorite thing about improv is seeing people from different school of thoughts mingle and bring their loves together. This is going to age me, but I feel like in LA there used to be a slight more variety of schools. A lot of them shut down like 2017, 2018, and then 2020, a lot went away. So like improvisers would learn how a lot of different school of thoughts did it in LA. And now it's kind of become it's become a little less that, which is fine. But people who, you know, have a big physicality background, bringing that into like UCB, which could sometimes be a little more verbal, a little more, you know, start with yourself, start with the character that you are. I just love to see it because in the end, like the way Groundlings improvisers or UCB improvisers or Second City improvisers aren't worlds apart. Everyone's just saying, this is my favorite thing, so that's what I'm going to teach. So I love to see people who are experts come together and be like, oh, I'm taking a little from you. I'm taking a little from you. And this is going to what my style is going to be. So,
yeah, that's wonderful. Yeah. Anything else you guys want to share before we go?
I refuse to get a massage even after. Like, this has really,
my God,
really pushed it forward.
But, Shelby.
I don't like strangers touching me. So this is the anti.
We're going to get a massage after this.
No. No. Three-person massage, baby.
That's literally my worst nightmare.
We'll be able to hear each other, you know, just a little bit. There will be a thin sheet between each of us.
See, I don't even. That doesn't even bother me. I don't want your anyone's hands on me.
We weren't.
You can touch me.
Is it okay? Is it the thought of it, or have you tried it once and you're like, I am 100% sure this is not to my liking?
I'm so scared of even walking into a room with a stranger and having them touch me. When you were like, my favorite type is deep tissue, I was like, there's types?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I am like,
Swedish.
All I know is they're doing like this and this.
No,
and
they don't have to be as rough if you don't want them to be. It could be like
you
a soft little.
You just don't want
someone
touching you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, which I get.
Super clear and fine.
But I'm fine getting like my nails done.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Because that's hardly anything.
I'm willing to try getting massages with you guys
if that's what we demand.
Because I'm sick
we'll report back.
Yeah. I'm sick of stressing about all the little things in life.
Yes,
there's
new.
There's worth things to worry about, like not having a debit card.
I mean, I wish I loved massages less because they're expensive.
They're so
but
expensive.
But I need a massage every now and then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys for being on the app and doing this talk back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.